The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I identify myself as a Bible-believing, unashamed follower of Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible, I follow Jesus, and I'm not ashamed to say so. The answer is not in the next election. The answer is not in Washington, D.C. The answer to America's problems is in the pulpit and the pews of America's churches. That's what we do here daily on Bob Burney Live. We listen, we think, and then we look at the Word of God, evaluate it, and develop our worldview from God's point of view.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and may not be the views or opinions of the staff, management, or advertisers of WRFD.
Isn't it strange how that you take two pieces of material, you can take wood, you can take plastic, you can take anything, and you can put them in any configuration until you put them perpendicular to each other and make a cross? The Word of God. Read it. Obey it. That is the answer to America's problems.
Call 1-877-BOB-LIVE. Bob Burney Live.
And welcome to Bob Burney Live on this Tuesday afternoon. Thank you for joining me. My telephone number, 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. Well, there is breaking news on the political front here in the state of Ohio. Dr. Amy Acton has announced just a short time ago she will not be running for U.S. Senate from the state of Ohio in 2022. Yeah, it's big news. She was one of the first to declare herself as running for the Senate after Rob Portman announced that he would not seek re-election. There were people just ecstatic that Dr. Amy was going to run for Senate. She didn't explain completely her reason. She said, in part, "While I am not entering the race for U.S. Senate, I recognize there is a genuine longing for a fresh approach to leadership that is honest, collaborative, and empowering. Ohioans, do not accept anything less from your elected officials. Our leaders' words and actions matter. We must set the bar higher." There's so much confusion about what happened to Dr. Acton. She was being sued by a large number of individuals and businesses over the emergency executive orders that she put in place. Businesses all over the state sued her because they believed she didn't have the authority and so on. And I tried to find out. I have no idea where those lawsuits are. Many people believe that she resigned from director of the Ohio Department of Health to release herself from the lawsuits. I don't know. But if you will remember, when it was announced that she was leaving as the director of the Ohio Department of Health, Governor DeWine said, well, she's just moving over to another place in the Ohio Department of Health. In fact, what was reported is that she was moving into a brand new position created for her, a position that didn't exist, and the pay was basically going to be the same as when she was the director of the Department of Health. So the speculation was she was going to be doing exactly the same thing. She just wasn't going to be out in the public, and she wasn't going to have to face the liability. But then it was announced that she was joining the Columbus Foundation. Well, I thought she was at the Ohio Department of Health. No, she was with the Columbus Foundation. But then in February, when she decided that she was going to run for Senate, she left the Columbus Foundation so that she could run for Senate. And now she's not running for Senate, so yeah, who knows? Anyway, the breaking news is she has decided, for whatever reason, she doesn't go into great detail, and she doesn't need to. That's her personal decision. She decided she wasn't going to run for Senate. However, I have inside information. Don't tell anybody. But my inside sources tell me that she decided not to run for the U.S. Senate because they would not allow her to wear her white lab coat on the Senate floor. And she decided, if I can't wear that white lab coat, no, I'm out of here. I'm kidding. Of course. Kind of. This Senate race here in Ohio is going to be very, very interesting because it is a key seat in the Senate. That seat has been held by a Republican for a long, 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 long time. But several Democrats have stepped forward. U.S. Representative Tim Ryan has indicated he may run. Ohio House Minority Leader Amelia Sykes has indicated she might run on the Democratic side. And then on the Republican side, Josh Mandel. If you'll remember, Josh Mandel was running for Senate. And then suddenly, and I mean very suddenly, he withdrew from the race. Now, this was back the last election cycle. He withdrew from the race because he said his wife was ill and he needed to care for his wife. And I think everyone respected that. That's, wow, that's wonderful. Well, then he and his wife got divorced. And that's their business. I don't know the reasons, and it is none of my business. It's just bizarre that he left the Senate race so that he could be with his wife because she was sick, and then they got divorced. And, well, anyway. So Josh Mandel is running. Former state party chairman Jane Timken. Yeah, you'll recognize the last name Timken from the Timken roller bearing family here in the state of Ohio. And then just recently, and I mean within the last 48 hours, a Cleveland area businessman by the name of Bernie Marino has announced he is going to run for the Senate. And I had never heard of Bernie Marino. I guess people in Northern Ohio are familiar with him. He is a very, very successful businessman. He owned a number of upscale auto businesses, retail businesses. And then I believe he sold those and started a tech firm. Anyway, he is a multimillionaire businessman from Northern Ohio by the name of Bernie Marino. He is an immigrant from Colombia, and he just released his first campaign ad this morning. Very well produced, and he presents himself as kind of a rags-to-riches story. He came here with his mother and four siblings from Colombia, and they didn't have anything, and now he's a millionaire, and I don't know. I had never heard of him until today, but he has thrown his hat in the ring on the Republican side. So we have three announced candidates on the Republican side. The Democratic side, no official candidates since Amy Acton has withdrawn from the race. But this Senate race here in Ohio is, well, it's going to be fascinating. Yeah, and it's going to be bloody. Oh, it is, in the primary and then in the general election. It's going to be bloody. All right, we need to take the first break of the hour. My telephone number, 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. You're listening to Bob Burney Live.
Bob Burney Live, looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
Well, the state of Arkansas has made history today, in fact. The legislature, a few weeks ago, passed legislation blocking doctors in the state from performing gender-confirming treatments and surgery for transgender youth. We're talking minors. So in other words, doctors cannot perform gender reassignment surgery on minors in the state of Arkansas. Well, the legislature passed this legislation a few weeks ago. The Republican governor, Asa Hutchins, vetoed it. It's a little reminiscent of South Dakota's Kristi Noem. Yeah, he vetoed it because he said it went too far. In fact, he said, quote, it went too far in interfering with parents and physicians. And he said it will cut off care for transgender youth already receiving treatment. So he vetoed it. Well, today, this morning, the Arkansas legislature overrode the veto. Yep, they overrode the veto. It takes effect 6 months, I think it is. Let's see. I just saw it here, and I thought I had marked it. Okay. Because the ACLU and some others are suing, hoping to... it will take effect in a few months and will be the very first state in America to ban transgender sexual reassignment surgery for minors, even with parental consent. No puberty blockers or surgery to anyone under 18 years of old. They're the first. They are the first. There are several states considering similar legislation. None of them have actually passed it. But the legislature felt strongly enough that they overrode the governor's veto. And again, conservative Republican Asa Hutchinson vetoed it. And then here is an update on a story that we've been following for, a couple years, I think, up in Michigan. At Wayne State University in Michigan, the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship was basically delicensed. Campus groups have to have a permit to meet on campus, have all of the benefits of an official campus club, and so on and so forth. Well, a couple of years ago, in fact, 2017, Wayne State University said, you're out of here, because InterVarsity Christian Fellowship required their leaders, we're talking about the officers, they had to agree to a statement of faith, which included a biblical position on sexuality, gender, family, and marriage. Now, anybody is welcome to come. Anybody. There's no test. There's no... Anybody can come to InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. But you cannot be an officer unless you agree with the statement of faith of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. Wayne State University said, you are discriminating against LGBTQ, LMNOP, you know, whatever. And the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship sued. It's been winding through the courts since 2017. Yesterday, a federal court ruled Wayne State University violated the constitutional rights of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. Yep. Judge Robert H. Cleland of the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Michigan ruled that the university's actions, quote, strike at the heart of the First Amendment and are obviously odious to the Constitution. He added that the university's disparate and discriminatory treatment of the religious group violates the Constitution's free exercise clause. He said, the uncontested facts demonstrate that defendants violated plaintiffs' rights to internal management, free speech, freedom of association, freedom of assembly, and free exercise as a matter of law. The judge went on to point out that other student groups at Wayne State University could restrict leadership based on, and here are the categories enumerated by the judge, other student groups restrict leadership based on sex, gender identity, political partisanship, ideology, creed, ethnicity, GPA, or even attractiveness. But the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship could not restrict leadership based on faith. So, the court also ruled that the administration was personally liable and they must pay $1. Yeah, $1 in nominal damages and are enjoined from revoking the student group status as a registered student organization based on its religious criteria for student leadership selection. The ruling went on to say no religious group can constitutionally be made an outsider, excluded from equal access to public or university life, simply because it insists on religious leaders who believe in its cause. That's a great win for InterVarsity Christian Fellowship and a good loss for Wayne State University. Good for InterVarsity. They stood by their convictions, went to court, and won. May their tribe increase. Bobberty Live will continue.